Welcome to Podcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Podcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Oh, hello again, everyone. We are back with Practice Plan, and I'd like to thank Practice Plan for having me, do another one of these podcasts. I almost said webinar because I can see people, but you won't be able to. So the podcast is, and today what I'd like to do is I'd like to welcome Ritesh Agarwal, more fondly known to everyone as Rick. So Rick, I know you've done some podcasts with Practice Plan before and you've done some work with them, but if you'd like to give us a quick introduction about yourself to start with.
Yeah, sure. Hi, Hussein. Yeah, my name's Rick. I am a practice owner and a practicing dentist in Sheffield. I also am the CEO of Synergy Mental Health. I've done quite a lot of work with Practice Plan around the mental health and wellbeing topics for them and workshops, etc., for dental practices. As at Synergy, we are a company that is dedicated to improving the mental health and wellbeing culture of dental teams. So that's what we do. So, yeah, great to be here.
Brilliant. Well, today's topic that we'd like to pick up on is we're going to sort of start with associates, really, and associate dentists, because, you know, with practices growing in size, businesses growing bigger and bigger, and then independent practices now becoming groups, and then groups becoming corporates, we're essentially moving on to, you know, a sort of bigger kind of, you know, proportion of dentists being associates as opposed to practice owners themselves. So I think it's good that sort of we talk about this and how it is kind of, you know, being an associate within kind of that dynamic. And for myself personally, I worked as, you know, an associate in independent practices, in small group practices, and in corporate practices as well. So I think I've seen it kind of from all sides and how it works. And I think the main sort of thing as an associate, I think the first thing I'd sort of like to bring up, and hopefully Rick can kind of add into this, is really, when you are an associate, you're either a sole trader or you are sort of a limited company and you are a business within a business. So how do you sort of find that, Rick, in terms of, you know, having associates being their own business within your business, essentially?
It's exactly right. That's exactly what you are. I've got no problems with it at all. You are a self-employed member of the team. You've got to look after your own stuff, your family, all those things that come with the challenges of being employed or self-employed. I think, associates being a business within a business is a very good thing for dental practice and dental practice owners, because they are going to look after their business primarily, but also it's in their best interest to also look at the wider business and look after the wider business, because that wider business is what helps them promote their business. So the whole business within a business situation is a good thing, I think, personally, as long as the associate is happy and healthy and engaged within their roles.
I think that's the important word, is associates being engaged, actually, because again, I've had colleagues who I suppose have been, you know, disengaged, and they kind of just see themselves as an individual and they're not really interested in kind of, you know, doing more within the wider role of the practice. They kind of just want to keep themselves to themselves. And, you know, what's your kind of perception of that? You know, is it, you know, do you want to kind of try and engage these individuals into actually kind of like taking a wider role? Or is it, you know, do you just think, right, you know, that's who they are, I just want to leave, you know, I just want to leave themselves kind of, you know, to get on with it type thing?
I personally, I would not want an associate coming into my practice who just thinks that they are there to just come in, do the job and go home. It's not for me. It's not the culture I breed in my business. And like you, Hussein, are a business within a business. I am my business. I am the business of Edge Dental. I think I want people who want to come to work, who want to be engaged with all team members, not just dentists, sticking with dentists and that kind of stuff. I think it's massively important, because team dynamics is probably the single biggest factor in producing good quality work and being productive for the business. So I think it's massively important for the associate to be, like I said before, happy, healthy, and engaged at work.
When you talk about engagement, what kind of engagement are you looking for from your associates? Are you looking for just sort of engagement clinically, just to make sure their diaries are running well and, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, meeting kind of like, you know, I don't want to say financial targets because I think that's not the way for it. Or are you looking for them to kind of actually offer some sort of, you know, non-clinical engagements or, you know, audits, kind of paperwork, anything else outside the practice maybe?
Yeah, everything, you know. You mentioned before that the associate is a business within a business. So if you look at an associate's business, it's not just coming in to treat patients and go home. You are running your own business. And that does include financial targets as well, because you are a business. You're not a charity. Yeah. And when I talk about being engaged, look, it's proven that to improve mental health and well-being within individuals, creating things like a sense of purpose and belonging and that kind of social interaction between team members. I'm still talking within the workplace here, not necessarily outside, although I'm sure we'll come on and talk about that. But having that sense of belonging is massively important. You know, I'm all for individuals expressing their individuality, but I'm even more so all for having that happen within a full collective work, well-being workplace setting, you know? So we are all engaged with each other. That's really fundamentally important. You know, it's in the best interest of the associate to treat staff members in the best way possible. So, because they want to get the best out of their support staff. Yeah. The dental nurses, the reception team, the administration team. Otherwise, again, your business as an associate doesn't run as efficiently as it can do. Yeah. So having an associate that comes in that actually integrates as part of the team for me is a number one factor. Personality is a number one factor for sure. Like I said, that sense of belonging as well, that all filters right the way through. Of course, associates that keep on top of their paperwork, do their referrals on time, make my job and the management side of things a lot easier to do is always welcomed for sure. I've worked with some associates who are not always the most efficient at doing their referrals, for instance, and they've had to be given a few reminders on that. I've worked with some associates who get on and just get on and do everything extremely efficiently. But I think first and foremost, having the mindset of the associate to be part of the practice team and that sense of belonging, that's really important for me.
Yeah, I do agree on that, because everybody's got their own individual characters and personalities, and everybody is different to that extent, and everybody's got strengths and weaknesses. So I suppose, you know, you have to kind of try and find where people fit in, what strengths and weaknesses actually are, and then working to kind of, you know, use people's strengths. I know sort of in previous podcasts, something that, you know, talks about with other sort of other people that sort of we've hosted is to do with all about kind of personality traits and what your strongest personality traits are, and then kind of working more towards those and using them. And I guess it's all about effective workforce utilization to make sure that everybody's kind of, you know, working with their strengths, because somebody will probably be able to do something better than I can. And I think that's, you know, that's good in that respect. I suppose something else that, you know, is interesting to mention is that, you know, as associates, we'll have contracts, which is a necessary part of the business agreement. Although, you know, still being self-employed in business within the business, how, you know, can associates kind of be kept to that self-employed status without being treated as employees despite that contract?
I don't think I'm the person to answer that who's saying, I think that's an HMRC person, to be honest with you. It's a conundrum.
I've got my own ideas behind it, but, you know, you do get some practice owners that, you know, they do want to micromanage a bit more, and they do want to kind of be more controlling, I think. And they see that as part of how they want to run their business, and because it's their business, you can understand that they want to do it that way. But I guess what I found from a personal point of view is sometimes because they want to do it that way, that just hasn't fitted with how, you know, the way that I like to work. And actually all that's left me is kind of, you know, becoming more disengaged, I guess, away from the business.
So on that note though, so just following that through, how was that approach then? So, you know, number one, I used to be an incredible micromanager, actually. I used to be every little detail of my business, I used to sweat. And I still do. I still sweat it, but I don't put as much importance on it. I'm shifting massively away from that culture. And that's a growth within me that's happened over the last few years. But that example you've just given, if so, what happened? How did you go about those discussions? Let's say, for instance, you become more and more disengaged, like you said. What did you do to try and rectify that situation?
Well, for me, I decided that those weren't the environments that I wanted to be in. And then I kind of sort of moved away, and there were a lot of different factors behind it. And part of them were, the clinical kind of environment that I was working in, as opposed to kind of like the NHS v private. So I changed my situation to kind of, go and do more private dentistry, which then kind of kept me happier. And that was it. But I've kind of also been in practice where somebody's kind of going to, you can do that quicker. You can shave 5 minutes off that appointment time, things like that. And, all it did was that just kind of irritated me, because I kind of thought to myself, and the words that, somebody gave me once is, almost to say, well, if you feel you can treat that patient more efficiently, why don't you do it then? Which is kind of a whole way of putting it. But
I totally respect the fact that you left that environment, because I will never, ever once say to a clinician, we promote clinical freedom, yeah? So part of that, and one of the biggest things to promote culture, is giving people autonomy, okay? Well, if I'm going to give you autonomy, I can't then go and say, oh, but by the way, can you get that DO done in 25 minutes or whatever it might be, because, you're booking 35 minutes or you're booking 45 minutes and, we've got a whole economy to scale that we've got to deal with here. Well, that's back to treating people as a number and not treating people as a person. I would never shave timings off my timings, because first and foremost, I want to do the best work I can possibly do on every given day I'm going into. And on some days, my work will be better than other days. That's part of being a human being. But I need a specific amount of time to do that. And if I don't have that time, that creates a massive part of stress and anxiety within me, because I don't like keeping people waiting. It's part of my customer service. Whether I was NHS or private, I've always been in that way. That's my mindset. That's the way I like to treat people. So I don't believe in micromanaging in that way. I believe in having open and honest discussions, though. So I believe in someone saying, okay, let's say, for instance, they said, well, you're booking this length of time off, but this is a sort of cost analysis that's happening here. So is there a reason why we need that length of time? And you have a two-way discussion about it to come to a situation. So then you understand the perspective of the principal, and the principal understands your perspective. And between the two of you come to a solution that will then benefit both of you. Because it's in the interest of the principal to keep their associates happy, and it's in the interest of the associate to be happy at work and keep the principal happy. So you've got a really good dynamic relationship.
Yeah. And I suppose that's the principle. You want to keep people happy, because one of the biggest growths, towards a practice and towards your business is keeping long-standing associates, because that's what patients are essentially coming back for. They're not coming back for the practice. They're coming back for that dentist a lot of the time. That's there, and whether that's principal or associate often.
I think also, though, patients they come back for a plethora of reasons, but certainly,
this is part of it as well.
Yeah, the team, the wider team for sure, have a huge impact on the patient's experience. Obviously, locality and neighbourhoods and all those things, I took over a private practice from a chap who was retiring and had been at the practice for 30 years. It was a tough gig, and I was expecting that I'm going to probably lose quite a few patients to begin with. So naturally you start make provisions for that, and you create all these scenarios in your head. Actually, as it happens, we probably lost less than 2% of the patients. And all those factors and all those things that I've had in my head, none of them materialized, because we make things more catastrophic to what they are, don't we, in our heads, sort of thing. But yeah, no, you're right. People are coming back for the dentist and the way that they're treating and all those things, So it's very important that then that person is, again, happy and healthy and engaged at work, because you're not going to retain patients if you're not, especially on a private basis.
No, and, you talked about the autonomy behind it as well. And that's really important, because, again, patients, if they're coming back for a dentist who work in a particular way, and I'm going to, make a fine example of myself here, because I do everything, differently You know, our composite's all injection molded. My crown preps are different. I do a lot of work with ultrasonics actually for cavities and things like that. Yeah. And the nurse, you know, and some of the nurses, or, you know, especially trainees, or when I first started, you know, there are, you know, nurses that are qualified here for, you know, over a decade plus and never worked anywhere else. They're kind of looking at me, sort of scratching their heads, going, what the hell is he doing? But that is kind of the way that I work. And I've invested a lot of money in, you know, the equipment that I've got. And, you know, they're kind of seen that I've been here nearly 3 years, or 3.5 years, I suppose. Sorry, 2.5 years rather. But they've seen that, you know, there's the reason why I do things, because it does produce good clinical results. I mean, hopefully, touch wood, I've got a fairly, you know, low failure rate, which I pride myself on. But I pride myself on delivering the best standard of care that I can, because if somebody's going to be working in my mouth or my parents' mouth or my family member's mouth, you know, I'm thinking to myself, no, that's, you know, what I should be aiming to deliver to everybody else. You know, I should not be compromising my standards, you know, ever, no matter who it is, you know, just because I think, well, actually, you know, I don't know them. They're just a patient. They're not sort of somebody I know or somebody who's my family. Everybody sort of like isn't equal, and everybody, you know, is treated, you know, to the exact same kind of like clinical standard. And I put a huge amount of sort of like emphasis on my clinical standard. And probably the extent that I, you know, I certainly have imposter syndrome. But that's an inherent trait, and I'm definitely a perfectionist as well. But that is kind of what produces my result. I've kind of like lost track on sort of my train of thought a little bit now. But yeah, with the self-employed thing, and you know, I've said that I buy a lot of my own equipment. You know, you find that you've got associates that do this? Is this quite a rare thing that, you know, associates are investing a lot in themselves?
We've got a fantastic associate at our place who is constantly investing in himself, and I love that. And by the way, I love everything that you've just said about treating your patients like family members. That's the exact ethos that we have in our practice. Bringing in new techniques helps to keep staff members engaged within the profession as well. It's not just the same, oh, let's churn out a DO amalgam on the NHS or whatever it might be. The, you know, staff members get enthused, nurses and the auxiliary staff get enthused when they're learning new techniques. It brightens up their day. So what you're doing is actually, in my opinion, a principal's dream. It's fantastic. I've got a fantastic associate who invests in himself, goes on multiple courses. He buys equipment on certain equipment that he needs. He'll come to me and he'll explain to me why he needs it. And I'll say, yeah, no problems. I'll buy that for you because I can understand why you're going to need it. Because ultimately, from a business case perspective, is, you know, if I invest in my associates and keep them happy, they are a massive asset to me as a business. Not only just the financial turnover, but also growing the reputation of the business, the goodwill when it comes for me to sell the business on, I'm going to benefit from that. So I would massively encourage all associates out there to do what you've done and try and better themselves. And principals, by the way, I learn a lot, and by talking just to my associate and my hygiene therapist, actually, about certain techniques that they're using. And again, hygiene therapy is another really important point to touch upon, a massively, generally underutilized part of our profession, also self-employed more often than not. Again, that's even a harder position, I would say, to defend from a self-employed perspective. So that's also a very, you know, interesting point from the HMRC point of view, etc. But a massively underutilized member of the team as well. And the amounts that we can all learn from each other is just huge.
So as an associate, you know, when you talk about, you know, your one of your associates come to you and say, yep, you know what, happy to get that for you. I've been in corporates where the corporates, you know, I've basically put my business argument across towards it, because they're kind of like, that's more the hat that they want. And they've kind of gone, yep, you know what, see your point, let's get it for you. And then I've been in other practices which have kind of gone, no, you know, we can't justify it because we need everybody using the same to keep it down to economies of scale, that kind of thing. So if there's something in particular that I really want or something that I prefer to have, how do I then as an associate kind of, you know, have that conversation and say, look, you know what, this is what I feel I need to do my job better or more efficiently. You know, are you willing to entertain kind of a conversation and see where I'm coming from, instead of just kind of having a owner's point of view and kind of like going a big, you know, because all you're seeing is the pound signs.
Again, it's a tough one, and you've almost answered the question yourself in terms of you've given the business case to why you're doing it and what you're doing. And having, you know, I talk a lot about authenticity, particularly within leadership, okay? You know, and I talk about psychological safety quite a lot. Well, psychological safety is being able to voice your opinions or carry out certain things and tasks without fear of reprise. And that's ultimately what we're trying to build in every workplace, not just dentistry. Okay. So, but you cannot have psychological safety without having open and honest conversations. And you can put your business case across, and that's all you are in control of. Agreed. The principal's then going to put their business case across, and that's all they're particularly in control of. Okay. And if at some point those two ideas or ethoses don't meet, despite the number of honest conversations you're going to have, then I think it's a question of, well, how valued do you feel as an associate working for that principal? And how valued are you as an associate to that principal? Do you know what I mean? And then there's some bigger conversations to have, or there's a parting of the ways. Yeah. And they're always, I tend to break things down as much as I can into what are potential outcomes and what can possibly happen. And once I know all that, I can build back up from that situation. You know what I mean? But one thing I will always do, I will always have an honest conversation. I'll explain my point of view. I will listen to your point of view. And if we, more often than not, in virtually 99% of cases, we come to compromises. And we and that's what after. Most people in most workplaces just want to be heard. They want to be heard and they want to be understood. And they also want to understand decision-making processes that occur, as opposed to just, I want this, nah, computer says no.
Yeah, I think sort of being heard and sort of being understood are sort of important things. And I mean, you know, for both associates and all team members, I think it's important to actually understand, you know, the side from the business in terms of why you would or you wouldn't do something. And that, I think that's no matter what it is, whether it's new equipment or, you know, a new system that's implemented or, you know, not HMRC, infection control policy, whatever. Because then if you understand, you know, you're actually just more likely to do it rather than kind of, you know, being barked at. I suppose one of the last things I probably want to mention then, because we've covered kind of, you know, how autonomy is important, you know, letting associates kind of like develop and kind of just be themselves within the practice. But from an associate's point of view, I think you have to be, you know, not just a leader, because you kind of have to still be a leader in terms of bringing sort of, you know, other people in the team along with you in terms of how you do things, why you want to do things, and, you know, the day-to-day kind of like, you know, ways that people work, because you still have a small team around you, even though you're not actually the actual business owner itself. But then at the same time, because you're not the owner of the practice, you're still a follower. So you're kind of wearing two hats. And, you know, how do you balance those things? Is there a good middle ground? Is it just dependent on the day-to-day dynamics? Because obviously that's going to change each time. Is it dependent on, you know, your practice? You know, and I don't even know if I'm making sense with this point. I feel like I am. I think you get me because you're nodding along.
I sort of get you 100% because obviously, as a principal, we have that exact same dynamic. Last, everyone thinks that the principal's completely in control. And yes, I can understand why that's the case. But actually, if you think about what the principal also has to deal with, you know, the stress of running the business, the stress of compliance, the stress of keeping team members happy and the dynamics of all that, the financial aspects of it all, managing the entire practice, not just managing, you know, your own business as well, as Hussein Dental. You know what I mean? So a lot of people in dentistry, and this is a good thing and a bad thing, I think, a lot of people in dentistry wear a lot of hats. And therefore, it's constantly juggling balls, spinning plates, whatever it is that we might call it. And it's very difficult. I think I've already touched on a few things. I think having open, honest, and respectful conversations is massively important. Okay. Because again, wearing the same hats and being able to voice your opinion, but also being able to respect other people's opinion and listen and actively listen is massively important to see other people's perspective and having a growth mindset, essentially. Okay. I think that's really important. I think looking after yourself as an associate, knowing the stress, the stressful environment that dentistry is, and what you've just outlined there as well, is very stressful. You have a responsibility to yourself to make sure you are healthy, you know? So looking after yourself, practicing techniques and self-care techniques that are going to allow you to stay mentally healthy and more productive at work, okay? For the benefit of you and for the benefit of the practice. You know, embracing and acknowledging stress and accepting that stress is a part of people's lives. And actually, stress is massively important to us all. It's important for us to have stress because that builds, that helps us build from it. It helps us build resilience. It helps us to overcome challenges in the future. So having stress is good. Having too much stress, which then becomes a feeling of overwhelm and becomes too overwhelming, is when it starts to become mentally unhealthy, and recognizing that.
I like using the word pressure. And then if there's too much pressure, it's pressure then becomes stress. So I'm happy to have pressure because pressure is what drives you. But I think when it becomes stress, that's when it's just gone too far in the wrong direction. And that's when, you know, the pressure's kind of overwhelmed you. And I think, oh, that's a good description of it. Yeah.
Listen, whichever description resonates in your mind, you know, the World Health Organization talk about stressors as a thing within their definition of mental health. It's, you know, there's no right or wrong. Whatever resonates with you, if you want to call it pressures, stress, whatever it might be that's going to resonate. The most important part is, though, is recognizing when those pressures or that stress or those stressors are becoming too much. And then you have to then look at things and reevaluate and try to then manage that situation. You know, you mentioned before things like imposter syndrome. Dentistry, massive with imposter syndrome. We're very isolated. Although you're an associate in a practice, you are isolated in your surgery. By the same token, when I practice, I'm isolated in my surgery. So it's an isolated perfectionism you mentioned before. Huge, huge problem in dentistry. We agonize over the 1% that, you know, you might have an air blow in your composite. You won't talk about the beautiful shading that you've done and the way you've got it polished and all that. And you talk about this one air blow that just sticks in your mind. Managing things like that are massively, massively important within our profession, you know?
Yeah, and we're quite fortunate that as part of Thorpe, you know what, there's 12 of us that are dentists. I think it's at least 12 anyway, it keeps growing. You know, we have regular peer reviews and we do tend to kind of at least talk, and we've got WhatsApp chats. And we're fortunate that everybody within our practice seems to have different special interests. So we've got lots of people that we can lean on. And I think that sort of does make for a good sort of practice dynamic, knowing that there is a lot of support out there. And support is a big thing, because clinical support is, you know, necessary in kind of today's modern kind of practicing environment. And you do need people that you can lean on. But if you're kind of within a smaller practice, you know, can you get that in a smaller practice compared to such a large practice where you've got more people around you?
Well, we're a very small practice and we're one surgery. So whenever I work, I'm by myself. Whenever my associate works, they're by themselves. As a one surgery practice, it's difficult having, and not just clinical support, you mentioned support there, but having support in general is massively important. So the biggest, most influential thing that I have run in my dental practice is definitely utilizing the platform from Synergy Mental Health to understand our workplace culture and have people comment on what's happening within our business completely from an entire collective perspective. And then us all coming together to help us improve the environment. That's what we do. And that is probably been the biggest, most influential thing in my business that I've had after practicing dentistry for 2 decades, to be honest with you. Because it's brought together a real sense of togetherness. And we've had some very challenging conversations, but through challenging conversations and working through them actually strengthens team dynamics and team bonding. So that's a massively, massively important thing. And I think that, you know, people should be, business owners should be doing this at all times, for sure.
No, some great tips there, Rick. Thanks very much. Because, yeah, it's, you know, it's hard being an associate, and I completely say it's hard being a practice owner. And I think, you know, yeah, it's important that the two do meet in the middle. and everybody sort of gets on, because if you don't, the only person that actually suffers any unfit is the patients, and we're all here for patients, and that's bottom line, really.
We are, but and just on that note, though, if we don't meet in the middle and people don't meet, people, actually the people within the team and you and me, we all suffer, and the patients as well, obviously, but we all suffer. And so it's massively, massively important to build those team dynamics, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a good final point in terms of the sort of associate dynamics, I guess. So hopefully we'll be able to cover sort of the wider team dynamics later on at some point, another time. So yeah, thanks very much, Rick, for taking the time to join us and talking us all through some of what we can to help out associates, but also what associates can do to kind of, you know, help out sort of practice owners and practice managers. Thanks very much again.
Thanks for your time.